That's me. Good to be with you on this Monday installment of the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 90.5 on the FM dial and online at hubcityradio.com. We're live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. Hey, what's up? What's the good word? How are you? Great to be with you on this first full week of the month of March, and have some March Madness, no doubt, to unpack for you folks here on this Monday installment of the show. David Tewksbury along for the ride with you, sir or madam, the listener. Thanks for lending us your eyes and the ears. We're also joined alongside by the man that we call the Cobra. He is Matt McClure. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing pretty good. How are you doing?
I've had better days, I'll be honest with you. Sounds like that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I'm not only in mourning because of the Northern women loss last night, but I'm also very, very much under the weather.
Really?
Yep.
Feeling a little sick?
Never made it back from last week, you know? I was like, I got back at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
Don't fall asleep till after 4, and then got to ramp it up again, got to jump on the road again. So
yep.
I just haven't had a chance to just decompress for like a day.
Yeah. Well,
so I'm sick.
Well, now you do, and after the tough weekend, now you got, you know, with the season over, you do have some time, which is good for you, I feel like, in your sanity right now. But obviously it's a tough Monday for our teams, for sure.
I was channeling my inner positivity, you know, wearing a white shirt here. I could have worn a black shirt to be in mourning, but I'm just doing my best to just kind of get over that mental hump, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, and like you said, you didn't have a time to reset, really, it seemed like. As you were on the road there on Wednesday, you didn't get back till 3 or 4 a.m., and then you were on the road there Sunday, so it was kind of a little tough week for you.
These are the clothes that I would have worn today in Sioux Falls. I literally just took it out of my suitcase this morning because it was still there.
Yep.
And I was like, well, I packed till Tuesday. All right. Looks good to me.
Yeah.
Let's wear it today. Sounds good.
Yeah. I like the I like that you were going for the positive vibes today. We need them.
Yes.
We need them today.
Certainly do, for sure. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. Good to be with you on this Monday installment of the show. The Northern State women's basketball squad, they see their season come to a close yesterday as they fall to SMSU. We'll talk about that game at length. And also, lots of local teams, regional teams, saw their season come to a close this last weekend as the Aberdeen Central boys and girls, they both fell. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Aberdeen Christian. They, too, fell in, I would say, a mild upset against Waverly South Shore. We'll talk about that. And also, our Insurance Plus and Area Federal Credit Union scoreboard, to be sure. And I do want to begin, we'll get to the jump here in just a second, but Doc came to me this morning and he asked me, well, is there any chance that Northern will be going into the regional? You know, they're done, but, you know, they're 20-9.
Yeah.
You know, they should probably still be playing basketball. My buddies were texting me last night. I'm driving home from Sioux Falls, and they're like, well, you know, they had a good season, right? And I said, yeah, they're 20-9, and, you know, season's over. They, what do you mean season's over? Well, in D2 basketball, you go from the conference tournament. After that, you go to the regional. It's not just a whole field of 64. It's a regional scenario. So out of the other, you know, conferences within the region, if you will, that's what's next. And I thought to myself, man, a team like SMSU, so solid. A team like Northern State, so solid. You mean to tell me that neither of those teams belong in yeah. March Madness?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I agree. At least getting an at-large bid, it's something that playing at the next stage of trying to continue their season in a playoff setting. It's just, you know, you lose one game in a conference tournament, season's over. When you have a great season like they did, it's definitely a tough pill to swallow. There is no doubt about it.
That's the way it goes, though, and sounds like it's a money thing. I've talked to Coach Aldridge about that. Brent Aldridge, he and many coaches, we've talked about it at length over the years, the whole regional thing. He's not too keen on the whole NSIC tournament because we've seen at years where the Northern volleyball team, this is a joke, I'm just going to tell you, mm-hmm. The Northern volleyball team has had years in the past where they just put up gaudy numbers. They just go out and dominate teams. Mm-hmm. They've been in the top five in the country. There was one year they were ranked, I think, second in the country, and they didn't make the national tournament because they weren't, oh, well, the other teams in the region are pretty good too. It's like, what are we even doing here?
Yeah.
We were ranked second in the country for a majority of the year, and we're not even playing
point of the rankings,
yeah,
then?
Yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah, that's, like you said, man, it's just it's a difficult one because, you know, you texted me after the game, and we were talking a little bit, and just how the game went. It wasn't that it was a weak hangover because they had a break. It's just that they made more shots, and I'm sure we'll talk about the game at length. But, yeah, definitely a tough one there yesterday.
That's the way it goes, and the season comes to a close at 20-9, and it just comes down to getting stops and making shots at the end of the day. And unfortunately, Southwest, they made more stops, they hit more shots, and they're playing today against Mankato. That'll be at 4:30. Just feels like I should still be in Sioux Falls right now. Calling that game tonight against Mankato should have been a dandy, but instead, not the way it goes. That's sports. That's life. And at the end of the day, got to move on. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by
Mr. Unlimited.
As we're going to go ahead and toss this thing skyward here to see if we can put a smile on our faces. We're a couple of funny ones actually here on this installment of The Jump. But before we get to the funny, I want to get on one thing that I thought that was kind of serious. And I saw this, I think it was either Sunday morning or late Saturday night. Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network, he tweeted something out, and here we are in March talking about the NFL. The NFL is just king, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, everybody's you see all kinds of different clips from the combine.
Yeah.
It 100% is king.
That one dude hit, what, 4.21?
Yeah. Best 40 time in the combine. When you get Tyreek Hill tweeting about it, that's when you know you ran fast.
What would your 40 time be, if you had to guess?
I'd probably go...
Six, seven. Let's see here.
Because what's a good time? 4.3? It's like, is that really fast?
I'd say anything under, well, it depends what position you are. I mean, if you're an offensive lineman running a 4.6, that's pretty good.
That's really good. Yeah. I think anything under five for
guys like you and me. Guys like you and me, anything under 5 would be great.
Yeah, that would be really good.
Yeah.
I'm thinking 6. Like 6.2 for me.
Yeah, I don't want to comment on mine, but mine would be. Because I ran the 40 one time when I was in high school, and I tripped at the very end of it, and I slid across the finish line. I had 2 turf burns on my hips.
Oh, man.
It was not pretty. I got a lot of laughs, though, I will tell you that. Good times. Well, speaking of the National Football League, Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network, he tweeted this out. He says, no surprises, the new kickoff rule crafted by the NFL special teams coordinators would allow teams to attempt an onside kick only when trailing in the fourth quarter and require them to declare it in advance, per sources. Language is still being finalized and owners must approve. And I thought to myself, and there was a couple of tweets below this, What happened to the sport that I love? What are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we doing in the NFL?
I don't like that at all.
And spare me, it's a player safety thing. And then in the same breath, you're like, yeah, we're actually going to play 18 games and then not do this.
Yeah, we're going to add another game, but that's a safety thing.
God, these people are ridiculous. Again, they're lying. We know they're lying.
Yes.
They know that we know they're lying, and they do it anyway. God, the NFL. It just kills me sometimes.
It's not like onside kicks work that often anyway.
Hardly.
They never work. So you're going to have to, like, do something like that where you have to be trailing in the fourth quarter to do an onside kick?
Element of surprise is gone.
Yeah, element of surprise is gone. You know, asked Sean Payton about that in the 09 Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
He did it to start the second half. Come on.
That's the photo right below it.
Is it really?
There you go.
Yeah, what a joke.
Yeah, it'll never happen again because, oh, well, they weren't trailing. That's not the fourth quarter. So who knows if that does pass. Just a clown car. You know what? I can understand why they added the 17th game after COVID. The NFL lost a lot of money from COVID and their fans not being able to attend the majority of the games. I get that. But we're post-COVID now. It's over. Move on. Let's go back to 16 games and 6 teams in the playoffs.
Yes. Yes, I agree. The last game, it just seems like the season's just dragging on. I'm not complaining about it. It's more football for me.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. 16 games was prime. Now we got to go to 18, maybe. And the season's not going to be over till the 1st of March now.
Man, player safety. It's all about player safety, that's for sure. And that's the way it goes, to be sure. And a couple of funny ones here as we kind of wrap up this installment of The Jump. So we've been talking about Major League Baseball, and they've got these new Fanatics jerseys where they're basically
see-through.
The see-through pants. I've
seen a lot of tweets about it.
I know. I have, too. And I'm just waiting for the deluge that happens in downtown Chicago at some point in time where it's just pouring rain in the afternoon and you got the see-through pants. That's going to be a nasty scene. But I never saw this one coming. Talkin' Baseball, they tweeted this out. Cap'n Crunch. Remember Cap'n Crunch, the breakfast cereal?
Yeah.
They tweeted out, no pants is better than see-through pants. So, there you go. Fanatics is catching strays from Cap'n Crunch.
There you go.
Didn't see that one coming.
No, did not. Did not. Cereal's now in on the game.
Wow. We are we're going places on this Monday installment of the Sports Hub. And finally, I saw this last weekend. USC was playing Washington. And admittedly, I don't watch enough USC men's basketball or Washington's men's basketball to know a lick about either of those teams. So if you say, Tukes, tell me what you know about Washington, I'll say, zero. Bubkiss.
I couldn't tell you.
Nothing. I got nothing. But I do know that Anthony Holland is a player for one of the teams. And Anthony Holland's family was on the screen the other day on CBS. And Anthony Holland's family was there. Looks like a sister, a mom, and a brother, and the family dog.
The dog made an appearance.
The dog made it there. And the best part about it, on the graphic it says, Anthony Holland's family and Toby the dog.
Oh, that's awesome. Didn't we talk about that a couple weeks ago, how like, college websites on athletics are putting the guardian dog or whatever it is, this team support dog. Emotional support dog. So they might have one-upped it with that.
It's fantastic. Make dogs mainstream in sports. I'm here for it.
Let them in the sporting events.
Yeah, I'm all in for that. I know there's some sports teams that have like a night at the park,
day
at the park.
Park at the park is, yep. I think is what they call it.
Yep.
We had that when I was working at that Florida League. They
sure.
had one night where they let the dogs come in. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, Salty would be all in on that.
Yeah, she would.
Oh, she'd be loving that, that's for sure. And we talked about Jay Billis and the whole court storming thing.
Yeah.
I think he's actually kind of leaning into it a little bit. There was a tweet, I saw this, I didn't print it out, but remember Sister Jean?
Oh, yeah, I saw that tweet.
And she was being rolled in on the baseline, and somebody quote tweeted it saying, get her out of here, put her in jail.
Yeah.
And Jay Billis quote tweeted that back with him with like a billy club outside the prison's jail, and I was like, all right, he's kind of leaning into it now, isn't
yeah,
he?
At least he's got a funny side to him, and he's softened it up to the situation, because he did get, you know, that when he went on and said that, it got a lot of opinions on it. Everybody was talking about it, so now he's just playing around, I think. But yeah, I saw that. It was pretty funny.
Got a photo with Jay Billis when I was in college.
Good
in,
dude.
Yeah, he. I mean, very.
Did you talk to him?
Very briefly. It was after a Marquette men's basketball game, and I said, "Hey, Mr. Billis, could I get a photo with you?" And he said, "Sure, no problem." So, yeah, he seemed like a nice guy, but his asinine take about court storming another story. By the way, this coffee is awful.
What is it? Hot?
It's hot. It's
warm.
Yeah, it's just. It's hot. It's piping hot. Boiling.
Boiling hot. It's a little lukewarm, yeah. So it's hot. I don't know.
It's no good. This is awful. This is the worst day. All right. Happy Monday. it's a blue Monday. I know. We've got a lot of sports to get to here on the program. We'll check out our Insurance Plus and Area Federal Credit Union scoreboard. Aberdeen Central, the girls and boys will both be watching the state tournaments this year, unfortunately. And some upsets, to be sure. We'll take a look at that. And also some college wrestling, college baseball, Northern State women's basketball, and much more. It's coming up on this Monday installment of the Sports Hub. Back on this Monday installment of the Sports Hub, FSA, David Tewksbury joined alongside by the man we call the Cobra. He is Matt McClure as we take a look at our Insurance Plus and Area Federal Credit Union scoreboard on the SODAC 16 side of things in Class AA. The winner, of course, advances to the state tournament in Sioux Falls at the Pentagon, and Aberdeen Central. They would hope they could maybe see if they could find that mojo out west there against Spearfish. And through the first half, it was pretty nip and tuck, pretty close affair. But in the second half, Spearfish, they made some huge plays, particularly on defense. And 70-47, your final score there. Taryn Hermanson had 11 points to lead the way for Aberdeen Central. Lauren Burkhardt with just 7 points and 6 rebounds. And Mariah Bowman with 22 points. And the big takeaway for me in this game is that Spearfish turned the ball over 5 times, and Aberdeen Central turned the ball over 21 times. That's the big takeaway for me.
And that's been the difference all season long, you know. And you got to give credit to Taryn Hermanson. She's been out the last couple games with that foot injury, and she played pretty well, especially in the first half. Like you said, it was a 27-26 game at the half. But Spearfish, they just I think they used the crowd to the advantage. You know, just seeing pictures of the Spearfish crowd, you know, they were able to get some momentum a little bit in that second, and you were just waiting for a team to make a run and get a little bit more separation. And this time it was Spearfish, and, you know, Bowman hit the 22 points, and they got a lot of great shooters over there at Spearfish, and they just didn't shoot the ball all that well in the first half. They started to find a groove shooting from the outside in the second half, and they really pulled away. But this game was pretty close even into the fourth quarter. It was about an 8 to 12 point game, but then Spearfish went on a run, and, you know, give credit to them. They played really well, and a team that's about as hot as anybody in AA girls basketball right now. I mean, they're 15-6.
Yeah, we had Dave Vilhauer on the program on Friday, and we were kind of talking about keys to the game for Aberdeen Central to be successful. And he basically said, number one, and you echoed it, take care of the basketball. Value the basketball. You cannot turn the ball over on the road in a hostile environment like Spearfish is. And they turned it over 21-10. That's the game.
That's really the game. I mean, you know, and Spearfish took care of the ball only five times. And that's just been an Achilles heel this year for Aberdeen Central. The turnovers, every game that they've, you know, been in, kind of like this one, second half would come around and then they would just turn it over a little bit more. They struggled to finish quarters strong, and that's why they are home now and got to watch the state tournament.
We'll talk about the rest of the boys' action from Friday night, but wrapping up the thoughts here on the Aberdeen Central girls' side of things, they will graduate a couple of gals here, four of them, as a matter of fact, Taylor Like, Aralee Waldo, as well as Madison Miller, and Katie Withers there as well. So this is a pretty young program still yet. You've got players like Emma Dorr, who has been outstanding, Taryn Hermanson, who's just a sophomore, if you can believe it, Lauren Burkhardt, just a freshman. So this is a team that has a lot of youth going forward. They got off to a great start, kind of skittered towards the stretch, and obviously they're not going to be playing in the state tournament. But I think for me, just as an aside, there's probably more reason for optimism than pessimism from the Central perspective.
No doubt about it, because you're going to have your two leading scorers coming back in Burkhardt and Hermanson. Yeah. They've led the charge pretty much all season long, and you got them coming back. Now, you're going to be a little bit young at the guard position, but somebody that's really taken a step this year, you mentioned it, who's been outstanding, is Emma Dorr. She was also pretty good in the Spearfish game, hit some big shots in the first half. So, like you said, I think obviously disappointing end of the season, but you got to look forward. And when you look at the roster, you see a lot of youth on the team. And when you got your two leading scorers coming back in the next year, you got to feel pretty confident with where your program's at.
So that's the Central girls. On the Central boys' side of things, they were in the 13 versus 4 pairing in the Sodak 16 down south in Sioux Falls at Roosevelt's place. I was listening to much of the first half before I got to Mass there in Sioux Falls. And on the Insurance Plus scoreboard, Sioux Falls-Roosevelt with a big second half. They win the ball game 54-36. Parker Lamar had 13 points. Central just kept kind of hanging around in this game. They were never really being dominated, and then just kind of felt like late Sioux Falls-Roosevelt just made some plays. But Central was almost at arm's length, just maybe three or four possessions down, but just could never get over that hump.
And that's exactly what I said on the post game too, because they never got it to about a two-possession game. And they didn't have many scoring chances where they would get a bucket, stop. It just didn't happen. They'd get a bucket, they'd trade buckets with Sioux Falls Roosevelt, and got down 17-5 in this game after a quarter. And I'll tell you what, Aberdeen Central's defense, Tukes, really kept them in the game. They were really good defensively. It wasn't easy for Sioux Falls Roosevelt whatsoever. They kind of had to grind this one out, but Aberdeen Central, they just struggled to score in this game, struggled to score the last two games when you look at it against Jefferson and then this one. But Nasher Ismael, Tukes, I mentioned him on the pregame show. He's the smallest guy on the floor, but he is quick. He goes hard, and he can knock down an outside jumper. And he hit a three. Aberdeen Central hit a three in the third quarter to make it eight. He comes down, hits another three to make an 11. And like you said, it was just they hung around in the game. Brett Norberg thought the guys battled, but it just wasn't enough. And you know, great season for Aberdeen Central. They battled all season long.
Well, maybe that's a good thing for Sioux Falls Roosevelt, because Aberdeen Central played Yankton last year in the Sodak 16. Yankton went on to win the whole thing. So this year, will Sioux Falls Roosevelt win the whole thing? Probably not. I mean, they're the four seed, but you never know. Nice game for them for sure.
I'm going to go no, too.
I don't
just
see
from
happen.
What I've seen, you know, good team. They got good balance, but I think there's better teams in Double A, and I'm probably giving them some, you know, bulletin board material. But you know, they got.
Should we put it up there?
Yeah, put it up there.
Chalk it up on the big board.
Yeah, chalk it up on the big board. You know, I think they're a good squad. They got a tough matchup versus Sioux Falls, Washington in that first one, that 5-4. That's going to be a great game. But I look at some of those other teams in Double A. I think they give them problems because they defend, but they defend a lot with fouling. So if you get a team that can just kind of, you know, get to the foul line a lot, that could give a team like Roosevelt some problems.
We really don't talk a whole lot about AA basketball outside of Aberdeen Central, but what happened in the Watertown and Sioux Falls Lincoln game? We were texting about this the other night. 31-28. Watertown got the job done, and congratulations to the Arrows. They're heading to the state tournament. That's great. I don't want to take anything away from them. A win is a win. But 31-28 in a high school boys basketball game? What's going on here?
In Double A basketball, you don't see a score like that very
you
often.
You play 32 minutes. Watertown had 31 points.
I was watching the game, and I watched the end of it. You sent me a clip, and I looked at the score, and I'm like, is this the end of the game here? Or is this just at the second quarter?
Yeah.
Then I listened to it, 31-28. Watertown's a pretty good offensive team. That score shocked me. Maybe it's just the moment, Sodag 16, a chance to get to the state tournament on the line, so maybe you were a little bit, you know, nervous and took care of every possession. Like you had to work the shot clock down to like five every time, or they just missed a ton of shots. I don't know, but
I was gonna
definitely
say,
weird game.
Yeah, I was gonna say that might have been a throwback game where they just take away the shot clock. It's like, you guys want one today? Nah, we don't need it. You? Nah, we're good.
Some of the tweets were pretty good too. Like they'd give score update and be like, the shot clock is on, by the way.
Yeah, but congratulations to the Arrows and job well done. They are headed to the state tournament. All right, our Insurance Plus and Area Federal Credit Union scoreboard from the boys' side of things from Friday in Class B. Region 1, Leola Frederick, they advance after downing Watertown. They handled them pretty solidly. They win by 33 points, 77-44. Braden Sumption with a game-high 19 points. Noah Kipley had 16. Ethan Petrick had 13. Weston Thorpe, 13 points. Balance there from the Leola Frederick squad as they advance to take on the likes of Potter County, who defeated Lower Brule 74-59. And we kind of talked about that on Friday. You know, typically Lower Brule, they want to go. They want to go fast. It's like that movie Ricky Bobby. It's just like, I want to go fast. That's kind of like who they are offensively. Potter County, they want to play defense for 94 feet. So it's contrasting styles there. See how it goes. Potter County was 15 points better, so we're going to get a regional team into the State B tournament to be sure. Leola Frederick against Potter County. It will be Leola Frederick advantage, though. They've played each other once this season,
okay. And
the Titans won by 30-plus. So going to be a tough uphill battle for the Battlers, though, but hey, you never know.
Wow. Well, I think that, like you said, I think that the matchup could be a little bit more interesting this time around. Obviously, Potter County's going to have to make some adjustments. But when I first saw the matchup and didn't realize that Leola Frederick won by 30 the first time, I'm like, hold up, wait a second here. I think this could be a really close game.
And it might be.
And it still might be. Potter County, I feel like they're playing pretty good right now. And, you know, you beat a team by 15 points that got to the state tournament last year in Lower Brule, and they're playing really good defense. And you're going against the Leola Frederick team that's kind of been under the radar all season long, a 6-11 pairing.
Not under our radar.
Yeah, not under our radar, but they've been going under the radar of Class B, I feel like,
sure, when
you look at it. And I'll tell you what, Leola Frederick and Potter County tomorrow night, we'll have the matchup on KSDN. That'll be a great one. And you got to give the advantage to Leola Frederick, but that should be a lot of fun.
Just before Christmas, it was on December the 19th. It was in Leola, and the Titans won the ball game 72-41. So they won by 31 points. I'm with you. It's going to be a lot closer in theory. If they beat them again by 30-plus, I'd be shocked. But we talked about Potter County in particular on Friday of last week, talking about playing with emotion with the Vern Smith passing. You know, there's no two ways about it. Those boys are going to be fighting for him and playing for that family and playing for their community. So
the forced turnovers are going to be right in the game.
I'm with you. So should be a good matchup there. That'll be tomorrow over on KSDN. You sent me this, and I was a bit surprised. It was the 3-2, and typically threes beat twos. It's not that big of an upset. It's not a 16-1. You don't see those anyway in regional action. But Aberdeen Christian, they fall against Waverly South Shore 54-45. Zach Rees had 17 points. Colton Kranz had 15. Sam Appelhoff had 11. Waverly South Shore, nice balanced attack. Joey Johnson had a nice game, 21 points. But Aberdeen Christian falls to Waverly South Shore, 54-45.
And this one's definitely going to sting for Aberdeen Christian. But when we have Dave in on Friday, he was talking about Waverly South Shore. They could match up size-wise with Aberdeen Christian like teams couldn't do most of the year. And when I heard that, I thought to myself, wait, we might have a really close game here. And we did. And you got to give credit to Waverly South Shore because they almost got sent home on their home floor earlier in the week. They had to go to overtime with Britton Hecla and had to hit some buckets late in the game to even force overtime. They won it in overtime with 19 seconds to go. They come to an Aberdeen Christian team that we've been talking about all year long since they started off 1-4. And Waverly South Shore just put the clamps on defensively. That's the bottom line. You give up 45 points in a game, you're not going to lose many. And they won by 9, and I think that matchup with what Dave was talking about on Friday, when you can match up size-wise, it's an even playing field. I think Waverly South Shore was able to match the physicality, and they just played a little bit better offensively and won by 9.
It was close the first time those two teams played each other. I'm telling you, this coffee is awful. I'm still drinking it. But 36-34 was the final there, with Christian winning by 2. We thought it'd be close, and it was. And congratulations to Waverly South Shore as they win that ball game by 9. Class B, Region 2. DeSmet was all over Dubrook area, 64-33. No shock there. Castlewood defeats Woolsey Wessington. I'm not surprised. Woolsey Wessington, a very good team, but Castlewood just better. 62-46. Brian Lowy had 21 points and 6 boards. Lane Tweed had 14. Castlewood just a team on a mission right now there in Class B. Falkton, they were upset. I'd call it an upset, a 5-1. Highmore Herald wins by 1, 46-45. Trake Cowan had 22 in the victory. Lane Cotton had 29 points, but just, again, not enough balance there for Falkton. Lane Cotton has had a tremendous season, but when we talk about Aberdeen Ron Colley having that Batman and Robin, I know DeMaria has been good, but just not enough from him, and not just him, but the rest of the team there. Cotton just had 29. That's the large lion's share of the offense there.
Yeah, and you talked about it too, so I got to give you credit. You talked about when we were looking at the preview of the playoffs in the region, you thought that Region 6A was going to be a tough one to get out of, just considering the teams that you had in there. You had Ipswich. That was having a great year.
6B.
6B is what I say.
Hey, 6A.
Oh, I'm sorry, 6B.
Yeah,
you had Falkton in there, the number one seed. You had Ipswich, who was having a great year. Potter County, a great year. Lower Brule, and you know, you thought, I remember you said, you know, it's going to be tough for Falkton, and it certainly was. This was a kind of one that you wish you would have won because you would have been able to move on to the Sodak 16, but got to give credit to Highmore Herald. They just did enough defensively. They stopped everybody else, and that was really the key difference in the game.
Sodak 16 pairings are out for Class B. 1 versus 16, it's White River against that Highmore Herald squad. That'll be at 7 o'clock. So congratulations, you down Ipswich. Well, guess what? Now you got the number one seed of White River, who has been to the state tournament for the last, I think it's 94 years running now. I think that's not the number. I don't know. But they'll be taking on that squad there at Stanley County High School. These are all, by the way, Tuesday games. DeSmet will take on Timber Lake, 6 o'clock from the Miller Armory. That's the 2 versus 15. 3 versus 14 is Castlewood against Centerville, 6 o'clock from Madison High School down south. 4 versus 13, Wessington Springs against Waverly South Shore, 6 o'clock from the Huron Arena. 5 versus 12, Howard against Phillip at 7 o'clock from Chamberlain. 6 versus 11, the aforementioned Leola Frederick and Potter County. 6 o'clock game from Northwestern High School there. Ryan Martin on the call. That'll be over on KSDN. Faith will take on Viborg Hurley at 5 o'clock at Stanley County High School's place. And 8 versus 9, Del Rapids St. Mary against Gregory. That'll be at 6:30 from the Palace of Maize, the Corn Palace there in the Sodak 16. Anything off the page kind of jump off to you?
That 7-10 matchup is pretty interesting.
Yeah, I was thinking the same
Faith
thing.
Faith and Viborg Hurley. Viborg Hurley went to the state tournament last year. So did Faith.
Yep.
I'm looking at that matchup. Got that one circled. I think that one could go either way. We already talked about Leola Frederick and Potter County. One that you might want to look at as well, Waverly South Shore. I mean, they've had a couple nice wins there against some solid opponents, especially against Aberdeen Christian. They're on a little bit of a run right now. Can they give Wessington Springs a little run in that 13-4 matchup? But those are the three that I got highlighted.
All right, looking forward to that. We'll take a look at the Class A side of things when we return, and also some more high school notes as it pertains to the Aberdeen Wings. And also, we got a state champ in town here as well. We'll talk about that and much more coming up next on The Hub. We're back on this Monday installment of the Sports Hub FSA, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial, rocking our way on this fourth
day. That's a good
vibe
song there,
isn't it?
That segment.
Feels very 80s, doesn't it?
Yeah, we needed that. I think we needed that.
You know when the song came out?
1987. I was a guess because you said 80s vibe.
2023.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's old school Blink 182 right there.
Oh, okay. Oh,
it's new school Blink 182, but sounds like old school 1980s.
See, you messed me up there because you said it was 1980, so I picked like a random year in the 80s.
Yeah.
But 2023, is that the new Blink 182 album?
That's the new album.
Oh, heck yeah.
You got a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You got some hardcore rock in there. You got some punk rock in there. You got some new wave, which you just heard right there.
That's pretty good. I like that.
The song's called Blink Wave, by the way. It's fantastic. It's a great album. It's called One More Time. We play some of it over on 106.7 Point FM. By the way, speaking of Point and the rock alike, how about Friday night at the Brown County Fair? Smash Mouth, Lit, and
Sugar Ray,
yeah.
I saw that. I was all jazzed up for that. That's a pretty good lineup there for Friday night.
I'm stoked for Lit. I mean, A Place in the Sun, that came out in, I think, 1999. That's one of my favorite kind of pop punk albums. I love that album.
And we were talking about Lit off the air one time, and you were like, I hope the Brown County Fair gets them. And sure enough, they did.
Oh,
awesome.
I'm going to be lit. For that Friday night. Maybe. We'll see. Responsibly, of course. I'll be drinking a lot of coffee, which is, God, it's terrible. Awful. It's no good. All right, Region 1A, as we continue to take a look at our Insurance Plus and Area Federal Credit Union scoreboard from this last weekend, Aberdeen, Roncalli, and Groton. This went the way we kind of thought it would. I mean, Roncalli's had a good year, but just not enough offensive firepower to keep up with Groton. And I was talking to Connor Libous about this a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I think he said that Groton has the number one or number two point differential in the entire state. I mean, they're putting up loads of points throughout the season. You might have to fact check Connor on that one. But he's been saying their offense has been clicking all year, and it has. We knew that. But 63 points for them on Friday night, downing Aberdeen Roncalli. 63-35, Lane Teets had 26. Ryder Johnson had 17. Jacob Zach, they just slowed him down to 6, but, I mean, Teets did his thing. Maddox Miller had 17, but they slowed down Keegan Stewart. He only had 4. So you've got two really good players in Maddox Miller and Keegan Stewart, two really good players in Lane Teets and Jacob Zach, and Teets had more than Miller. That's not the only difference, but Ryder Johnson was kind of that third guy.
Yeah, and what did we say on Friday, Tukes, for Aberdeen Roncalli to have a chance? Both those guys got to have big games.
Correct. We said they had to score north of 20 each.
Yeah, and the difference is Keegan Stewart with only 4 points. And, you know, Groton has just been, I feel like the last couple years, 2 to be exact. When you look at Region 1A, they've been just absolutely destroying teams, it seems like, in Region 1A. They got all the way to the SODAC 16 last year, lost, but they were the number one seed in Region 1A last year.
Yep.
And here they are again, and they just got another crack at it in the SODAC 16. And, you know, Teets is just so good, and they get a lot of good balance. Like, Jacob Zach, only 6 points, but still Ryder Johnson with the 17. So it's just, it could be somebody different with that team. Congratulations to Groton. They're just having a great season.
We were kind of not so secretly hoping that Milbank would play Tio Spazina again, and it happened. Milbank wins by 9, 59-50. Garrett Mertens hits the 1,000-point plateau in his career. He had 17. Carvin Fish had 23 points and 8 boards for the Wombaty, but it wasn't enough. And we thought this would be a great matchup, and it turned out to be just a 3-possession ball game difference as Milbank wins that one 59-50. Class A, Region 2, it was Hamlin all over Clark Little Lake, 67-32. Tyson Stevenson had 21 points. Hamlin's been steamrolling opponents all season long. Friday, no different. Sioux Valley, they down Flandreau big time, 66-35. While McLaughlin, they edge Mobridge Pollock in Region 6, 48-41, while Cheyenne Eagle Butte defeated Stanley County 55 to 46. Sodec 16 pairings are out in Class A. These are all matchups for tomorrow. Sioux Falls Christian against Sanborn Central Woonsocket. That'll be at West Central High School at 7 o'clock. That's the 1 versus 16 pairing. 2 versus 15, Hamlin against Hanson. That'll be in Arlington's place at 7 o'clock. Sioux Valley against Lakota Tech at 5:30 from Chamberlain High School. 4 versus 13, Pine Ridge against Cheyenne Eagle Butte. That'll be at 7 o'clock from Wall out west. Dakota Valley will be taking on McLaughlin. That'll be at 5:30 from the Palace of Mays there at the Corn Palace at 5:30. 6 versus 11, Hot Springs against Vermilion, 7:30. That'll be at Kadoka's place. 7 versus 10, East River versus West River. You've got Rapid City Christian against Milbank, 6 o'clock. They will do a little Maren Morris, Meet Me in the Middle. Meet me in the middle. You know that song? There you go. They'll be playing at Pierre T.F. Riggs High School there. That's the 7 versus 8 pairing. And then 8 versus 9, Groton Area against Del Rapids from the Watertown Civic Arena. That'll be at 6 o'clock. I think a lot of really good matchups there for Sodec 16 Class A.
Yeah, and we talked about Milbank 17-5, Tukes. That Rapid City Christian team is the 7th seed at 19-3. So I'm looking at that matchup. That should be really good. And also that 8-9 pairing is going to be awesome. Groton and Del Rapids. We talked about that one off the air. I saw that one. That one's going to be pretty close. I think both those teams are going to play with a chip on their shoulder in that one. They want to get to the state tournament. So those are the two matchups I'm looking at and saying they're going to be pretty good.
I think that might be a shootout at the OK Corral right there. Groton against Del Rapids. I think there's going to be some points in that game for sure.
Upper 60s, you think?
I think there's a legit chance.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. I think both teams will probably – are we going to put this in the Sharpie? I would say both teams – yeah, I think so. I think both teams hit 60.
Okay, no. we'll put that on the board.
We will certainly do that. All right, on the high school side of things, on the hockey on the ice, the Aberdeen Wings, unfortunately, they dropped to fourth place in the Central Division. They have just had a really tough schedule of late, but you know what? To be the man, you got to beat the man sometimes. And Minot, the number one team right now in the Central Division, they dropped a pair against the Minot Minotauros 4-1 on Friday, 4-1 on Saturday. Just kind of a tough luck go about it, and just offensively, just not enough.
Yeah, they haven't been able to get much shots on goal. I listened to majority of the Saturday game, Tukes, driving back from Sioux Falls, and you know, they got down 1-0 in that game, and then in the second period, things started to unravel a little bit. There was a little weird play on the Minot second goal where two wings collided with one another, and they were able to get a shot on goal. One of the wings got hurt on that play, and since that moment, it was kind of a fluky little goal, and that moment kind of had some momentum for Minot, and they were able to just build a 4-0 lead into the second period. The Wings added a goal in the third, but like you just talked about, this schedule's been brutal. They played 10 games here. They're playing 10 games. So this is the final stretch. Three series versus Bismarck. This is the upcoming, this weekend is Bismarck again, and one versus Minot. Two of the best teams in all the NAHL. It's just a tough stretch.
And not only that, but I also get a sense, and I could be off base in saying this, but I just feel like the Wings this season defensively have had kind of a tough go. And the reason I say that is because you've seen multiple times this season where I look at the box score afterwards and Adam Dybal makes 37 saves. He makes 41 saves. He makes 43 saves. I'm thinking to myself, are they just getting shots on goal? Or are they getting weird redirects? Or are they just getting...
Is goalie just getting peppered?
Yeah, I mean, like at some point you're going to sneeze, you know, when you have to surrender that many shots. So, and I'm thinking to myself, is the defense just having kind of a tough go about it? Or sometimes you get a scorekeeper that puts the puck kind of close. Like, that's a shot.
That's a shot on goal.
That's a shot right there. So, yeah, it's hard to say. But like you mentioned, it's a tough stretch for sure. And hopefully they can kind of get it right this upcoming weekend back at home at the Odie Ice Center.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that series because they played Bismarck kind of up and down the last couple times they played them. They got that big win on the road, and you come off a series where you got swept. You need to somehow right the wrong here and get a couple points on your home ice.
Also, speaking of ice, the Aberdeen Cougars, congratulations to them. They win the state championship. They basically laughed their way past their first opponent, winning 10-0 there against Sioux Center. Yeah, Alyssa Rorick had 3 goals. Allison Wall had 2. And wasn't even that close. Then they had to kind of squeak one out against Mitchell on Saturday, 4-3. Allison Wall had a pair of goals there as well. Rachel Siefkin, Kaylin Poppin, each finding the back of the rope there on Saturday. And sometimes when you play just an absolute butt-kicking of a puck game, I don't want to say ball game, but puck game on Friday, it's like, you know, we're just going to coast our way through this thing. Not so much. They really had to sweat it out on Saturday, and I think that kind of prepared them for Sunday. They took care of business against Sioux Falls. They found the back of the rope in the third period, winning that puck game 1-0, your final score there, as the return to glory, if you will, for the Aberdeen Cougars. They're back on top.
And Riley Hepper, too, she had the goal in that third period, and that's got to be a great moment for her and that program to come away with a state championship, a third period goal in a nothing-nothing hockey game.
Yeah.
I mean, and you're talking about palms getting sweaty. I'll tell you what, that was some high stress in that third period, I bet. And for Hepper to come away with that goal in the third period was huge. And they got great goaltending in that game, and it was a really great championship game, and they were able to come away with a win. Congratulations to the girls' squad.
And head coach Rob Weinmeister named coach of the year there as well, so job well done. We'll talk about some college notes when we return to the program. Check out our website, hubcityradio.com, for all the details of the high school and college scoreboards from the weekend. It's your Insurance Plus and Area Federal Credit Union scoreboard. Final segment of your Monday on the Sports Hub on FSA. David Tewksbury joined alongside by Matt McClure. Check out our website, hubcityradio.com, for the Hubcast following the program here today. That's on our website, hubcityradio.com. College baseball from the weekend, Northern State. They would earn another weekend split down south in Kirksville, Missouri. Tell me what you know about Kirksville, Missouri.
Other than it's in Missouri, not much.
Okay, there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, Matt McClure. No, I'm the exact same way. I don't know much about Kirksville other than the fact that it is indeed, like you said, in Missouri.
That's, now, if you just said Kirksville, probably one, I would have guessed a random state.
I would have guessed like Arkansas.
I would have said Tennessee.
I was going to say Arkansas or Tennessee. Those are my two guesses, and it actually turned out to be Missouri. That's Missouri, not Missouri. But congratulations to the Northern State baseball squad, keeping it close in every single matchup there. And except for the last one, they really kind of blew them out. But nice weekend. You know, you'll take the 500 split, I suppose. So we've seen kind of a weird start to their season. They're 4-4. We've seen some great pitching, seen some not so great pitching. We've seen some great offense. We've seen some not so great offense. So kind of that 500 team.
And I think that's what you expect through eight games, right?
Yeah, it's
especially early on in the season, you're gonna have to work some things out pitching wise. Guys need to get in their roles, especially in the bullpen. Hitting-wise, though, I think you got to be happy with where you're at right now. You put up the 16 run, or 25 runs in that game last weekend, and you do a pretty good job this weekend as well. So I think through eight games, Coach Barry's got to like where his team's at.
Super Region 5, the tournament was this last weekend. On the wrestling side of things, Northern State scored 93 total team points with one region champion, one runner-up, and one third-place finisher, and three fifth-place finishers there as well. Number 9, Devin Barr, Chase Bloomquist, and number 3, Seth Broussard. They led the team. They have punched their tickets to Wichita, so congratulations to those guys there. Northern State on the women's basketball circuit. Of course, they were down south in Sioux Falls yesterday, as was I. You get a 32-point performance from Madeline Bragg, 32 points and 8 boards. Rihanna Phillippe had a nice game, 14 points there as well. Elena Beneke had 10, so he had some pretty decent balance offensively, but defensively had a tough go about it. Bree Stoltzman had 30 points. SMSU wins the ball game 86-75. Madison Galoff, one rebound shy of her second double-double in as many games. She had 18 points and 9 boards. Hannah Parsley had 13. Northern State loses the ball game by 11 for two reasons, in particular for me. They missed a lot of layups. They missed a lot of 1-, 2-, and 3-footers in this ball game. You make, I don't know, half of those, 60% of those. I think we're talking about Northern and Mankato today. And also, of course, the three-point shooting. The Wolves were 1-for-10 from downtown in that ball game. They hit 2 threes in 80 minutes against SMSU this season, 2-of-25 from downtown. That just doesn't happen to the Wolves, and it did, unfortunately, in those two matchups. Southwest, they go plus 27 in terms of three-point shooting.
And that's the difference of the game. I mean, you know, 1 3-pointer to 10, really the difference of the game. And I'll tell you what, Northern, like you said, Tukes, they battled in this game. You look at all the other stats, it's pretty 50-50 outside of the shooting.
Yeah.
Northern shot 42% from the floor, and Southwest shot 50% and hit a lot more threes. And that's really where the game was lost, I think, for Northern State. Just didn't take advantage of the opportunities they got off of turnovers. You know, they did have a good, quite a bit of points off of turnovers in this game, but they just missed a couple layups in there. Like you said, you make half or a little bit more, we might be talking about a different game. But give credit to that Southwest team. They really showed out the last couple games on offense. They scored 93 against Augustana, and they put up 86. I mean, they're really clicking offensively, but definitely a tough luck loss for Northern State. But overall season, 20 wins. I mean, that's pretty good.
At 20-9 against basically zero expectations from other coaches within the conference. I mean, this was the preseason number 10 selection. We both looked at that. You put your money where your mouth was, and you said, they're a top 10 team. They finished in the fourth spot. Realistically, probably should have been the three spot. They defeated Concordia St. Paul head-to-head, but don't get me started on the tie-breaking scenarios within the NSIC. But, yeah, just a tough go about it last night, 86-75, and yeah, I'm just not ready for their season to be over. I mean, I drove back last night. I got home, and I kind of finished up the sports and everything like that. And I'm thinking to myself, why am I in my living room right now? Why am I here? I should be back down south in Sioux Falls. This stinks. I don't like it.
Yeah. No, I kind of felt the same way on my way home, you know, covering the Aberdeen Central boys squad. It's just like they've had a great year, and I was driving back. I'm like, well, it's over. You know, it's just a snap of your finger like that. And like you said with the Northern State squad, they just – a tough one. That's the only way you could put it. Just didn't shoot well. That's really the bottom line. The three-pointers.
In 2024, you have to hit threes. You know, the era of, you know, a bad shooting night. You know, sometimes back in the day, a bad shooting night, we can still overcome that. When you shoot 1-for-10 from downtown, that's really tough to overcome in this era of basketball, men's or women's.
It's not like Southwest shot the ball lights out from three either. They just hit nine more threes than you did, and that's the difference of the game.
Unfortunately, yeah. So NSIC tournament, that of course continues here today on the guys' side of things, coming up at the top of the hour, actually tip-off. Southwest against Mankato, that'll be a dandy. Winona, probably the hottest team in the league right now. They're playing Duluth, that'll be at 1:30. Women's side, Southwest against Mankato, Duluth against UMary, should be a couple of really good games there. And shout out to Mayville State. They defeat Dakota State in the NSAA championship 61-59. He's the Cobra. I'm Tukes. We're back at it tomorrow.